Hey, welcome to Church Online. I'm so glad that you joined us today. And you know, if you're new here, I want to encourage you to text the number on the screen. Let us know that you're here. We'd love to connect with you. And man, I can't wait to see what God is going to do today through the message, how he's going to speak to you. So let's dive in.
Everyone, welcome to Grace River Online at Home. I'm so glad that you're here today. My name is Jacob, and I have the honor and the privilege of serving as a student pastor here at Grace River. And whether you're watching or you're listening to this today on the go, I'm just so happy that you're here. I hope that today is an encouragement to you as you take a next step in your spiritual journey of what it means to meet, know, and follow Jesus. I'm excited because we're back into our series called Red Flags. We are in week two of our series called Red Flags. And we today are talking about unresolved conflict and the power that it can have in our lives in a negative way, and really how we can fix things before they get worse. If you're anything like me, you hate conflict. I am like notorious if I have an issue with somebody, like I'll text out this really long text. A lot of times it's not very nice and I've got to like put it through ChatGPT or something to make it sound a little nicer. But I'll text out this long text and then I get scared for the response. And so I just let it sit there for a day, 2 days, 3 days, and then I don't even send the text at all. Maybe you're a lot like me in that sense. Or maybe you can relate to me in the sense where you have a conflict with somebody and you now have the opportunity to go face to face with them and deal with the conflict just straight face to face, but you get a little scared. Your stomach is in knots and your throat is completely in your stomach and you tremble at the sight of seeing that person, so much so that you avoid that person like the plague. You're like, there's no way I'm going to deal with that conflict today or for any day that matter. And so you just completely avoid that person and you just hope that time will take its course and that things will become better as time goes on. If you're anything like me, unresolved conflict and conflict in general is a really scary thing. I think it's really funny how Chris has asked me of all the people to give a message on unresolved conflict because here I am struggling in this. And so as I start today's message, I want you to know that I'm in the middle of this boat with you. If you have some unresolved conflict in your life, I want you to know that you're not alone. And this is a journey. You're not gonna be nailing it every single step of the way. But what I want us to do today is I want us to be committed to growth. I want us to apply these action steps that we're gonna talk about later on in today's message and see what God will do as a result. But first things first, we have to understand that unresolved conflict divides relationships. Maybe you've lost a friendship due not to something super big or outlandish, but it was actually a pretty small issue, pretty relatively small issue, and it was just something that was never resolved. For example, it might have been a joke that was cut a little too deep in your life. They hit that right chord in your life, and you're like, man, that really stunk. Maybe you felt left out, but you never said anything. You felt like you could have been involved, but somebody intentionally left you out of the equation. And let's just be honest, that hurts. But maybe there was a misunderstanding and you've got some pride in your life and it kept you from talking about it with that person. What we understand and what we see, I think every single person watching or listening to this, you would say that this is true, is that unresolved conflict creates a divide. It creates separation in our relationships with others. It turns friends into strangers and families into enemies. And over time, that unresolved conflict, if we are not careful, will end up building anger inside of us. I love what Ephesians 4, 26 through 27 says. It says, don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. See, you have to understand that not all anger is sinful. There is a righteous anger. You can be angry at the injustice all across the world, all across our nation. Like, that is something that you can be angry about. But the issue, more times than not, whenever it comes to anger towards people, is that it doesn't come out of a heart of righteous anger. It comes out of a heart of agitation and frustration towards that person. And what we learn here is that we are instructed to not let our anger control us, because when we let our anger control us, it becomes sin in our lives. And I love how verse 27 talks about how anger gives a foothold to the devil. In the Greek, this word foothold translates to this word topos. And topos literally means, it's literally translated, a place or a room. When you let anger into your heart, when you let anger control your thoughts, your actions, your motives, and whenever you let it control you, what you are doing is you are literally giving Satan, you're giving the enemy room and space to reside in your heart. You're giving him this ability to do whatever he wants. And I'm here to tell you, whenever you let Satan have room in your heart, he's not going to do anything of benefit for you. What we learn in John 10:10 is that Satan, the enemy, has come to steal, kill, and destroy everything that matters the most to you. And so you have to ask yourself, are you letting sin, are you letting your anger control you? And if so, you have to understand that that is a dangerous place to be. And so what should we do whenever we notice that a conflict is starting to divide? Right? Because conflict oftentimes will lead to anger towards that other person. We know that that's a dangerous position to be in. But what do we do? What are some action steps that we can take whenever we notice that a conflict is starting to create some separation in our relationships? First things first, we have to understand that we have to live a bold life and address it. You can't just ignore the conflict at hand. Would you be a person that addresses the issue at hand with that person? Don't wait for things to get worse. And I think that as we go on in this Christian life, as we go on, it becomes really easy to put a front up in our spiritual journeys, that we're good with everybody, but deep down, we've got some bitterness in our hearts. And so from the surface level, everything is fine, but whenever you get to the heart of it, you notice that there's some issues. Would you be a person that decides that you're going to address the conflict? Don't wait for things to get worse. Every single time, trust me, I'm a person that trembles at conflict. Whenever I have a conflict with somebody, it keeps me up at night. It's not a good thing. But every single time that I've taken that bold step and I've addressed that person with the conflict at hand, it has always paid off. Why? Because I've always applied point number two. Point number two is speaking in love. So would you address that person and would you speak in love? Don't go to that person out of a heart of anger, but speak to that person in love and watch what God will do. Here's the thing. I could preach an entire message on what to do whenever you have conflict with somebody in your interpersonal relationships, but I want to look a little broader than that today, because here's the thing. Whenever you have conflict with other people, that's one thing. But whenever you have unresolved conflict, it can actually damage one of the most important relationships in your life, your relationship with God. The second thing that we see here is that unresolved conflict disrupts our connection with God. Here's the thing. We oftentimes think that our relationship with God is some vertical relationship. It's just between me and God. If I just read my Bible more, if I just pray more, then my relationship with God will be strengthened. What if I told you that your relationship with God could be strengthened when you focus on your interpersonal relationships, your relationships with others, your horizontal relationships, if you will, right? So your vertical relationship with God is actually affected by your horizontal relationships with others. I love how Matthew 5, 23 through 24 says it. It says, if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. Here's what Jesus is saying is that worship isn't just about what we do for God. It's also about how we live with others. In Jesus's day, bringing a sacrifice to the altar was one of the most sacred acts of worship that you could ever do. But I love what Jesus is doing. He kind of flips our thinking upside down and he says, stop. If there's a conflict between you and somebody else, you need to go and resolve that thing. Why? Because God is not just interested in our religious actions. What do I mean by that? He's not just interested in you checking the box by you going to church or you watching church online at home. He's not just interested in you lifting your hands in worship, not just interested in you reading and praying before you go to bed every night. He wants you to have real relationships. If you do all of these religious actions, which are good things, like you should be doing all of those things that I just talked about. But when you're doing those things and you're completely ignoring the broken relationships in your life, what Jesus is trying to teach us here is that we're actually missing the point. And so if you want to be close to God, we have to deal with what's keeping us distant from others. The third thing that we learn is that unresolved conflict steals our peace. One of the biggest lies that we believe about conflict is that if we just ignore it, then everything will be okay. Trust me, I am that person. I believe that if I just store it away in the corner, if I just kind of forget about that person, then everything will be okay. But the truth is that unresolved conflict doesn't just magically disappear. Maybe on the outside, it looks like everything is good, and it might be good for a temporary period of time, but what we know is that when we let unresolved conflict go, it actually grows. Hebrews 12:15 says, "Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many." This verse, it paints a beautiful picture that bitterness is like a root. Think about it. Pulling weeds is a really dirty job. It's a painful job. You're on your hands and your knees. Your back begins to hurt. If you're not wearing gloves, then your hands get all cut up. But if you've ever pulled weeds, you know that if you want those weeds to not come back, then you have to pull it up by the root. Because if not, what ends up happening is that from the surface, it might be good for a few weeks, but after a short period of time, that weed will come back bigger and stronger and better than ever before. And that, my friends, is exactly how bitterness works in our life. If we don't deal with the conflict and the emotions that we have to understand that those things don't just fade. They don't just go away. What they actually end up doing is they take root in our hearts. They find the crevices of our hearts and they dig their roots deep. Bitterness is not just a surface level thing. It finds its way in the crevices of your heart. And listen to me, it will steal your peace. So you have to know that unresolved conflict is stealing your peace. And some markers of that is three things. Whenever it makes you replay the situation over and over and over and over again in your mind. Whenever it's constantly the only thing that you're thinking about, you know that unresolved conflict is stealing your peace. You also know that unresolved conflict is stealing your peace whenever it keeps you angry and hurt and frustrated, sometimes for months or even years. Some of you, you relate to that. Like, you have some unresolved conflict that happened 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago, and you're still thinking about it today. And you would say that it is stealing your peace. You also know that unresolved conflict steals your peace whenever it hurts your relationships and it spreads into your other relationships with others. It doesn't just affect the relationship that you had with the person that there was a conflict with, but now those emotions and the bitterness that you have in your heart is actually starting to affect those around you. It becomes a cancer to those around you, if you will. The longer that we let bitterness grow, the more that it will rob us of peace. And so Jesus, what he's calling us to do here is to get our hands dirty in the garden of our own hearts and dig up that root of bitterness. And trust me, guys, it's hard work. It's dirty work. But here's the thing. Your heart is incredibly valuable. Protect your heart and put the work in to cleaning up your heart. Don't let bitterness take root in your life anymore. Because at the end of the day, listen to me, you can have bitterness or you can have peace, but you cannot have both. And I think that most of us would say that we want peace. But listen, you cannot have peace if you have bitterness. And so I want you to think of somebody in your life right now that you need to seek reconciliation with. Who do you need to make things right with? And I know you're like, wow, that is scary. I don't want to do that. That person doesn't deserve my forgiveness. I don't know about this thing, man. Jacob, you're asking me to do something that I haven't thought about in a while. Like, that is some hard work. Now, I want to encourage you, don't wait any longer. Would you nip it at the bud? Would you go to that person? Would you text that person? Would you call that person? Would you do whatever it takes and go to that person in love, as I talked about earlier? But would you be committed to making things right with people? Because you can't love God and hate his people. That's a really important thing that all of us have to understand. You can't claim to love God. You go to church, you lift your hands in worship, you read your Bible every day, you pray, you do all of the things, you do all the religious things, but you hate his people. It's like oil and water. The two don't mix. And so who is it in your life that you need to make things right with? But here's also the thing. I recognize this. Some of you, it's not just like some small conflict that you've had with somebody. You've got some pretty deep trauma, and it's really, really difficult, and it's more than you just going up to them and having a conversation with them. I totally understand that. And here's also something that I recognize, is that for so many of you, it might actually be a detriment. It might not be of any benefit for you to go to that person. It's actually a dangerous situation if you were to go to that person. Would you decide that you're gonna make things right with God? That you would ask God to grant you the forgiveness towards this person that in your mind, they don't deserve it, but still, God, would you allow me to forgive this person? And a great marker of forgiveness, if you want to know a way that you have forgiven somebody, a great marker is if you can think of that person's name. If their name gets brought up in conversation, if you can wish good in their life, if you can pray for good things to happen, then you might be well on your way of forgiving somebody. And here's the thing. I think that for most of us, myself included, I hear some people's names and I'm like, nope. I'm not at that point. Listen, this is a journey. and we're not going to be perfect. We're not going to nail it 100%. But what we can do is we can be committed to growth. That's all that God is asking of us. Perfection is not what we're striving for, because perfection is impossible to achieve. But what is possible is growth. And so would you decide that you're going to deal with the unresolved conflict because you recognize that it divides your relationships, it disrupts your connection with God, and it steals your peace? Unresolved conflict may be one of the scariest things in your life right now, but I can promise you, if you would work towards a resolve, if you would work towards reconciliation with the people that are in your life, it might be one of the best things for your relationship with God, with your connection with God. And so today might have felt a bit like a gut punch, if you're honest with yourself. It was difficult for you to hear today's sermon. You recognize that there's some work to be done in your life, that you're not nailing it in this people thing, that you might be doing pretty good spiritually in your relationship with God, but like you've got some areas of weakness in your relationships with others. I want you to know that it's okay. That you can do this, that God will guide and direct your every step. And so if you would take this bold step of faith to say, you know what, I'm going to put the work in today to go and make things right with people, I think that God's going to meet us in the middle. Again, he will guide and direct our every step. He will light our path. He will give us the wisdom when we ask for it, man. So maybe today you need to get your hands dirty and you need to work on some relationships in your life. I believe that you can do it. God believes that you can do it. And it's gonna be hard, it's gonna be scary, but it's so worth it at the end of the day. Just wanna say thank you guys so much again for being here for week two of our Red Flag series. Make sure that you either watch online, listen online, and I also wanna invite you back next week. We have 3 in-person services at 8:30, 9:45, 11 o'clock. If you've never been to Grace River, I want to invite you to come out. We have services every single week. I hope to see you at one of those services. Again, my name is Jacob. If you look for me, I would love to meet you. I'd love to introduce myself to you. And I'm just so glad that you are here. Make sure that you come back next week as we continue on in our series. Have a great week. I hope that you enjoyed today's message. I pray that you were able to take a next step in your spiritual journey of what it means to meet, know, and follow Jesus. I want to say thank you again for joining us, and I want to invite you back here next Sunday. If you call Grace River Church your home, I want to encourage you to give as well. Giving is an amazing next step that we can all take. And you can do that by going to graceriver.cc/give. Again, I hope that you enjoyed today. We'll see you back here next Sunday.